Good. Turn with me tonight in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 127 and verse 1. Amen. Preached to Brother Lamb, Brother Joseph, Sister Cannon, Sister Stephanie last night, I believe, and Sister Smith was there, right, and her children there. So, amen, I'm going to have to preach something different tonight. Right? Amen. I'm going to try not to preach as long as I did last night, but I don't feel too bad about it. Brother Lamb got up and preached some more after I did, so they're used to staying there. I know that they wasn't. I thought I was holding up from going home, but I wasn't holding nobody up. Does Brother Smith preach after the preacher gets through? Sometime, okay. Hey, man, I'm not. I guess all preachers do the same thing. But I guess my wife mentioned our pastor. I just say it this way. He used to say, "We're here to have church. You get through before we do. You just have to go on to the house." Amen. And we won't be upset with you. We'll wave. And you know, he didn't say that in no bad way. I keep saying I'm going to go back to that, but we don't do that. I went to that church, same church Brother Lamb's pastor now. I went to church there, I know, from the time I was 9 years old, about 27, 28 years old. And as far as I know, I may be wrong, they never had a dismissal service, a dismissal prayer. They didn't even believe in formal dismissals. And we got down in some other churches, and they started, and I kind of got in, you know, you dismiss, but there you never dismissed. Really, you left when you wanted to. And there was always stages. You had the first altar service. Then about 10 o'clock, the second move kicked in. Then you had church to about 11, 11:15. Then another little group would leave. And if you could tough it out and stay, just be patient and stay, about 11 o'clock, everybody had went home that had anything else in their heart or on their mind but God. And then the Holy Ghost started. That's when I got the Holy Ghost, at 12 o'clock. There wasn't nobody there but just a few of us. Amen. So I don't know. Maybe we ought to just go back to that. But I don't know. I keep saying we never have. But, you know, some people do have to leave and go. Amen. If that's the case, then just have to do it. Psalms 127, 1, one verse of Scripture. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I want to preach on the futility of human effort without Christ. Pray and ask the Lord to help me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I kind of feel like Brother Bowers had it tonight. Amen. Maybe he should be up here finishing his message, you know. I'm like one preacher said, I wish I could preach. Amen. And I'm not just saying that. I count preaching. Don't take this the wrong way. I take preaching the necessary part, I guess, of that I'm called to do. I don't look at it as my strength, by no means. Amen. I enjoy encouraging people. I enjoy working in the Lord, the work of God. What I'm saying, some preachers just like to preach and don't like to do it too much other. But that's not directed toward nobody here tonight. You know what I mean? Amen. But I've always been the opposite. I like doing the other. Man, I like to see the work of God go. I like work days at the church. I like building churches. I like making the church look nice. I like fellowship meetings and youth rallies and cooking them meals. And I mean, I like that. But I understand also that from time to time, it falls my lot sometimes to endeavor to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to preach for a while tonight if the Holy Ghost would stand by my side on the futility of the human effort. die without Christ. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I read in the Gospels where Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I read there in Matthew chapter 11 where he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now listen, it's almost as if this church age today is making the Lord kind of look like that he don't know what he's talking about. Because this good way of serving God, once you come out of the world and make your heart right, and your sins are washed away, it was meant for you to live a better life, for you to be happier, for you to be more excited, for you to leave depression behind, leave oppression behind, and leave all the cares of life behind. I mean, it was meant for you to jump up here on the porch and get in the porch swing. Praise God, and start enjoying your salvation. But we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Now, I'm not saying you're not doing it, but the church as a whole is not doing it. Why, you can almost hear them sing tonight in churches around and across this state. If they're still singing, Brother Smith, I can hear them singing that favorite song. It's so hard. It's so hard. In this time we're living in, it's so hard to serve the Lord. And then another sister jumps up and sings, he's been on my back all day long talking about the devil. And we talk more about the devil, talk more about the trials of life, talk more about the situation than we do the Christ that we serve. But I want to tell you, Jesus is not a liar. He meant what he said and said what he meant. There is a way tonight. But see, the problem is when you try to do this thing on your own, it will wear you down. Somebody said, I would come to a holiness church, but I know I can't live it. You're right, you can't. But I'm going to tell you tonight how you can. The reason I'm not going to church no more is because I just can't go on no more. The old devil just fight me. I feel like throwing my hands up and quitting. When you get there, it's because you're endeavoring to live this thing with your own effort. When you get oppressed and you get down in the spirit and you get down and out, it's because you're trying too hard on your own. But in the text I read tonight, it said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, it did not say the watchman was not supposed to stay awake, walk and do what he's supposed to do, but said even if he does everything he knows to do, unless the Lord comes by and keeps the city, he wakes but in vain. You may come to church, you may read the Bible, you may try to live for the Lord, but I want to tell you, that ain't going to be good enough. It's not going to be good enough unless the Lord, unless the Spirit, unless Christ, unless He comes, unless He guards this house, you are not going to make it. Amen. The futility of human effort without Christ. You had it, Brother Rob. It's all in Christ. It's all in Jesus. It's all in what He can do. It's not what I can do, but it's what He can do. And I want to tell you tonight, a Christian can be happy. A Christian can be excited. Hey, we say a lot today about the reason that people don't worship God when they come to the house of the Lord. And I know you got a good reputation here for worship of the Lord. I'm not scolding nobody here tonight. Thank God you do. But let me tell you, I'm not, and at the same time, I'm not disagreeing at all with what Brother Bowers was talking tonight. A lot of times the reason people cannot worship God is because of things in their heart. But many times some of the best living people on the face of the earth find themselves in the house of God not able to worship the Lord. And the reason is they're trying so hard. They're trying so hard that it's wore them down. I mean, they are slap give out. They've had to walk 12 hours with the Lord and live right. Amen. Not get upset with the lady at Walmart, and not get upset with the employees, and not get upset with the neighbor. And they've had to go all day without hollering at the children. and slapping them around. And it's been all day. I mean, they're just wore out. But can I tell you, there's a way that this thing will not wear you out. I'm going to get somewhere. Just stay with me. I told you, preach is not what I do best. But there is a way, and I'm going to try to help us tonight, that we can get tapped in to Christ, that we can learn how to rest in the arms of Jesus. I tell people I like to walk through cemeteries. Hey, man, I've been through the one here at Center Hill one day. I was up here, I forget now, waiting for somebody, and I just went out there and just started walking around. But in cemetery, you know, it's really, you say, well, you're crazy. Well, ain't hardly never nobody out there. Hey, and you can pray and seek God, and it's nice and it's quiet. But anyway, let me get on. But in the cemeteries, you see gravestones that has this inscription, resting in the arms of Jesus. And every time I see that, Brother Smith, I said, you don't have to die to rest in the arms. That's why I go to cemeteries. I get excited. I get to shout and happy. You don't have to die to rest in the arms of Jesus. Picked it up and read it. They had an article there. You may have read it. It said, the human race was not meant. When they didn't acknowledge that God created man, but when man came into existence, he was never came, or don't have the faculties or the capacity to handle this present age. See, we're in an age today, you may have thought they had it bad back then when they didn't have everything we've got today, when they had to ride horses and, you know, jump in. But see, we're in an age today, the human nature can't hardly handle. I mean, life today is stressful. If everything is going good, it's stressful. I just drove 2 hours and 20 minutes and you've done the same thing, with people pulling out in front of you, blowing horns, passing you in a hurry, you trying to get around somebody else that's a slow poke. I'll tell you right now, you just move on. It's no easy thing to get from one point to the other. Life is stressful today. And you know, and I heard another preacher say, if you can make it through this modern church age, you're going to be doing good. And I think he's right. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, these are not easy times. No, they're not easy times. These are not easy times for the church. These young people that are here tonight, this is not going to be easy times for them. But shall we give up? No. Shall we back off? No. Not at all. But we're going to have to learn more than ever before how to be kept by the Spirit of Christ. I mentioned this last night, but this verse has been on my heart again today. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Let me stop there before I continue on. Passeth all understanding. In other words, Brother Bowers, tell me everything that comes to your mind about the peace of God. Brother Lamb, tell me everything that comes to your mind about the peace of God. Brother Smith, tell me everything that comes to your mind about the peace of God. Tell me everything that comes to your mind about the peace of God. All of you, get your paper out. Write down everything your little mind can conceive and dream up about the love of God and the peace of God. And the peace of God. And when we've all done it, the peace I'm fixing to tell you about and reading about far exceeds that. Imagine all the peace that could possibly come to you. You get up in the morning, instead of having a Job experience, the first knock at the door, I felt led to give you $10,000, Brother Smith. The second knock at the door, go down there, I've already paid for you, Lincoln, pick it up. Third knock at the door, hey, I'm going to give you $100,000 to buy some property and build your church over there. You think peace would be building up? Oh, you think peace? But the peace that we're talking about even would exceed that. Because, see, I can understand how this man would be. I would be happy if somebody gave me $10,000 first thing in the morning. I'd be happy if they give me a new car in the morning. I'd start feeling spiritual. We're human. If somebody come by your house in the morning and knocked on the door and said, every bill you owed will be paid off by 10 o'clock. Just tell me what you owe. I'll pay it all. Oh, that's, you say, oh, I have peace of mind. But can I tell you, he didn't say he'd do all that. But the peace, we're going to find out this peace that comes through Christ. It said here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Greater. Understand, I said all that for this. This peace we're talking about is greater than anything you could imagine. Anything. Shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now see, the Lord won't come necessarily and take away all the problems. He will not take away all the things you see with your eyes. He will not take away all the things that is going to come to pass on America, on our community, on you. But this is the deal. This is what He said. I will not alter it. I will not change it. I will not alter the absolute laws of the universe and the absolute laws of sin and death. And I will not alter that because I'm God and I cannot change and alter. God governs His own universe that He created by His own laws that He put in existence. God puts a law in place and will not break His own law. That's why I've got somebody say, God won't send me to hell. He won't break His law to keep you out of hell. That's why He sent Jesus. He won't break His own law to keep somebody out of hell. But what? Let me get back. I can't get sidetracked here tonight. But after He said, I cannot alter this. He said, but the backup plan is this. I will bring peace that passes all understanding. I will bring a special peace through Christ Jesus, a work of grace, a work of the Spirit, a work of Christ. I will come with that peace. I will guard their mind with that peace. They will see things, but the things they see will not cause them to fear because I've got the peace of God standing there guarding the mind. They'll smile. They'll go on. You know, they're getting ready for another terrorist attack, they say, in the United States. But we Christians, we ain't the least bit worried about a terrorist attack. We not the least bit worried about anything. I got one or two amens on that, not many. Now, I would be worried if the peace of God was not keeping my mind. I would be concerned if the peace of God that passes understanding was not keeping my mind and keeping my heart. So I'm getting, somebody says, you know, how do you? You know, I can get up and preach on holiness, dress, holiness, live and tithe and not reason, and people will shout you down. You jump up behind a pulpit preaching people ought not to worry, and people's been in the church 20 years will draw back on you. Bible said plainly, be careful for nothing. Study that out. That means become anxious for nothing. Become anxious. Hey, we'll say so-and-so sin. How do you know they sin? I seen them up there do this. I seen them do that. Well, have you become anxious for something today? Amen. Now, I'm not saying you backslid on God just because you do that. Just like you can't point the finger and say somebody's backslid on God just because they don't do every little thing the way you think they ought to. God may be dealing with their heart. But what I am saying, the Bible said, be careful for nothing. Anything that gets you geared up, worked up, frustrated, anxious. You went up there and told the peace that passes all understanding, go take a break today. I got to worry today. I got to worry today. This might be careful for nothing. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. That's why you can always have church on any given night because we're not taking thought for tomorrow. It don't matter what happens tomorrow, we ain't thinking about it. The peace of God that passes all understanding has got us here tonight in the house of God. We may go to heaven from here. The rapture may take place tonight. And if it don't, that peace of God that passes all understanding will be there in the morning to help us. So you ain't got to worry about a thing. You got a thing to worry about. You ain't got a thing to worry about. Be careful for nothing. Take no thought for food. Take no thought for raiment. Oh, after all these things, the Gentiles, they worry themselves sick over these things. Hey, but you're the child of God. That's what it's saying. Take no thought. The love, the peace of God that passes all understanding. It calms your mind down. It keeps your heart. It keeps you where you need to be. Did you know we couldn't make it? There's none of us. The problem today is when we try to be a super duper. We try to be some big shot. Bless God, I can do it. Somebody, you know, a few years ago, people in a church, pastor said, somebody said, I wish I was strong like you. Strong like me? You don't want to be strong like me. I'm the weakest there is here tonight. I'm the weakest among. I was so weak in my Christian experience that I had weakness is good. It's a positive thing, because when you're weak and you realize you can't do anything, it shoves you over to total dependence upon the Spirit of Christ. I quit trying a long time ago. I quit trying a long time ago. I was talking to some pastors one time about church problems. I got home feeling, got on a guilt trip there, felt bad. Talk about the nights they stayed awake, not sleeping. Of course, I've told Brother Lamb this, and I wasn't bragging about it, I just felt bad. I started thinking about over 15, 20 years of pastor. I said, I ain't never lost sleep over problems in a church. Never. Man, I felt guilty. I'm not a good pastor. I don't care what's going on. I don't care who's talking about me. I don't care what they said. I'm always too tired when I lay down at night. Me and Sister Carraway talk for a while, you know, and then I said, she starts talking, and she finds out I'm asleep. Man, I enjoy my sleep. Yeah. That's what helps me the next day. Get a few hours sleep at night. You're laughing, but some of you, that's why you're so miserable and grouchy. You lay awake half the night worrying about something you can't do nothing about, then get up in the morning griping and complaining and snapping back to everybody. But you get the peace of God that passes all understanding, you'll go to bed at night and sleep. Get you a good night's rest. Get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Crawl out of side that bed and cry out with David, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Lord of God, next thing you know, the kids will hear you say, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then the kids will start crawling out saying, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Glory to God, I will rejoice. I'm a preaching on the futility of the human effort without Christ. But over the years, Brother Lamb, I said, I ain't going to feel guilty no more. I don't feel guilty no more. Because it's not that I'm not concerned. I'm as concerned as anybody. You worry a couple hours every night, do it five nights in a row, you got 10 hours of worry in. The problem's still there, so next week you set back in 3 hours a night, five nights, that's 15 hours. Add it to that 10, you got 25 hours in. What have you gained? Has the problem improved? Has the situation improved because of your worrying? That's why the old timers, it's not in the Bible, that's why they said worry was vain. It don't say that absolutely in the Bible, but worry is the most vain, it's the most idlest thing that you can do. It's just, it's wasting time. The Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. Church, tonight your minds can be kept through the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm not up here to be fanatical and talk crazy. I'm well aware there's problems in life. I mentioned this last night at Dover. You have a need, ask God for the need. Now I want to deal with another little area. I'm going to preach scattered here tonight. I already told you. I mean, Brother Rob was doing a good job preaching. I'm just up here talking tonight, but I'll scatter around here and there. You know, a big problem we have in the church tonight is patience. My weakness was patience one time. I made a terrible mistake. I said, oh God, as a young person full of zeal, not a lot of thinking through, I said, oh God, I want you to make my weakness my strength. I forgot about that verse that said, tribulation worketh patience. Man, I'm telling you, I've had some tribulation. But you know, I'm not complaining about it, because God's got me where I can wait on Him more. The Bible talks about that we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We like that part. And run with patience. Most anxiety and frustration in the house of God and among preachers. I'll preach to the preachers tonight. It's not that God's not going to do it. He's not doing it on their time frame. Yeah. It ain't got nothing to do with God not doing it. He's not doing it on their time schedule. Now let me get to you. It's not that God's not going to move for you. That is not the case at all. You ain't got time to wait. Most people jump in and kick in the human effort gear before God gets there. And then after a couple of years of struggling and making terrible mistakes and just falling in one pitfall after another, they climb out and say, I ain't serving God no more. He ain't doing nothing for me. They ain't never waiting for God to get there. You wait for God to get there, He'll part that Red Sea. Now I know, I've jumped before God myself. People, even when they go to buy a car, they won't pray for God to send them to the right one. There's too many guys, slick salesmen down there shoving pencils across the table. They'll go down there and go in debt on something they can't pay for. Boy, it's getting tight here now before they'll pray that God move. We want it now, society. We're not going to wait till we got anything. Lord, how did I get off on this? We just don't have patience today. If God don't do it right now, He's not doing it fast enough. But God's got a time. God's got a time. But what does the Bible say? They're not they that wait upon the Lord. You know why those people not mounting up with wings as eagles? You know why the church is not soaring high? You know why the saints are not up above the clouds? Because they're not waiting on the Lord. Amen. Because you wait on the Lord, everything will be all right. So we need to realize today that even if God's not doing it, I haven't left my message, even if God is not doing it, you're best to sit tight and do nothing until God moves. Because if you get in a hurry and say, well, God, you're not doing anything, so I guess I'll get out there and do the best I can without you. You're going to lose out. People's always talking to me about me, They said, you know, I go to him for an answer. He don't tell me anything. Amen. I found out if you can't tell somebody the right thing, don't tell them anything. If God ain't spoke to you anything to say, play dumb. Don't even open your mouth. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, we got enough know-it-alls in the church. Yeah, amen. Praise God. So we got enough know-it-alls in the church. They told me about a family when I first went to Lake Placid. I was in a restaurant one time. They pointed to the guy, said, you see that man over there? I said, yeah. I said, he knows everything, but he knows it all. One thing he don't know. I said, what? He said, you see that guy across the table? I said, yeah. I said, that's his daddy. He knows that. I said, oh. Hey, I said, man, I'll tell you right now, he was telling me something about it, but I've seen some people in the church about as bad. I've seen some men in the church, I'm telling you one thing, they knew everything but about two things, and their wife knew that. Come on. Praise. But it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. And let me tell you something about serving God. And I'm not kidding. I don't mind you having a good time. I like people have a good time when we preach it. I tell you one thing I've learned about God. You're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to wait on God. And I tell you, there's a lot we don't know. He said, my ways are far above your ways as the heaven is above the earth. He said, my ways as far exceed your way. My ways are past finding out. When man comes up with a way to do it, God goes to the drawing board and figures out a way He can do it without engaging their plan. God goes out of His way to make you feel insignificant. Hey, come on out. He goes out of, somebody said back in 1988, I've said this a lot, they came out, I don't know if you remember that, 88 reasons, the man wrote the book, 88 reasons why God, the Lord's got to come back in 1988. They give me that book and said, what you think? I said, I don't know when he's coming back. The Bible said, no man knows a day and hour when he's coming back. I said, I can just about tell you when he's not coming back. That's 1988. We're going to have to live out the rest of this year. Because God up there in heaven said, I got 888 reasons why I'm not coming back. Amen. In 1988. God will go out of his way to show us that he don't need us. Come on now. I don't have time to preach that whole Bible from Genesis right through. You know it. You've read it. He'll show you he don't need us. God does not need man. He did not need little David. Little David didn't kill the giant. Spirit of God killed that giant. He just needed a little boy that had faith in God. That's all he needed. Hey, let me tell you something right now. God don't need a crowd. All God needs is somebody that will wait upon the Lord. Somebody that will realize they cannot do it. Gets me the verse of Philippians 4 and 13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Within myself, I can't do it. But what God wants me to do, I will do. I'm not saying that boastful. Let that sink in. Within myself, I can't do anything. But with what He wants me to do, what His will is, I will do it. And nobody will stop it. Because then it's not me. It's Him. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. Amen. They said in Lake Placid, they said, he'll starve to death. Said, we won't back him. We won't give him no money. We'll talk about him. We'll put him down. We'll do all this. And they did. Best they could. Lied about me. Talked about me. Told everybody I was a crook. Wouldn't pay my bills. Better watch me. I mean, I wasn't in a town where I was brought up. I was new to town. But you know what? Christ made all of them liars. Amen. You get Christ on your side, it's all you need. Become an I can man or an I can woman. Like Sister Caraway said, you know, we was raised that way. We got these Lord, God forbid there's anybody here tonight like that tonight. But I'm just going to preach this in case they were here and you can tell them when they get here. I mean, we got these pitiful saints in the church. They can't do anything. Can you? I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do anything. I can't neither. But I can. I can do all things. What does all mean? All means all, and all is all that all will ever mean. That's what the attorney judge got smart there with the CLA attorney and said, well, what does all mean? And the Lord moved on him. He said, all means all, and all is all that all will ever mean is all. Hey, they got excited over all. A-L-L. I get excited over all. Because all means all. You mean you can, Brother Caraway, can you walk on the water? If God wants me to, I can. Now, I ain't going to get out there and do it just to be foolish. And show somebody I can walk on the water. But if God wanted me to walk on the water, I would. Amen. If Jesus was on that boat and he said, come on over here, I'd walk. Amen. You can do it. Become an I can person. Tell that devil. That old devil's an intimidator. He's a liar. He'll come to you, tell you you're good for nothing, nobody, and you can't do it. You go look at that devil and say, devil, you're right. I can't do anything. I'm poor, wretched. I can't do anything. But I've accepted Christ. I've let him become the king and the Lord of my life. And because of him, devil, I can do all things. Why, devil? I can agree with any one of my brothers, and he said if any two on earth would agree as touching any one thing, I will bring it to pass. Devil, you better leave me alone before one of the saints come by. Glory. As soon as they get here, we'll bind you. We'll bind you.
Because the Bible said, whatever we bind on earth, I'll be bound in heaven. Devil, you better run. If you don't run, we're going to bind you. Woo! Devil, look at that devil eyeball, and say, devil, you better leave walking. Because if you don't leave walking, I'm going to start resisting in the name of the Lord. And when I resist in the name of the Lord, you're going to have to leave here in high gear. You're going to have to run. You're going to have to take call. Woo! We are not standing our ground. We don't know who we are. We're doing it ourselves. That old devil would drag me from behind this pulpit, lay a whipping on me, and kill me if he could. He ain't doing nothing but what God will let him do. I've talked about him so much, boasted against him so much. He'd kill me, kill my wife, kill my children, kill any if he could. But I know without a doubt, I know that that devil's got a big chain on him. And God lets him come. Can I go down there and torment Rufus Caraway today? Go ahead, devil. So here he comes. But I know that he's already been there. Some people don't know that. I'm getting off my message. Some people don't know that. When he gets to my house, I already know he's checked in with headquarters. Hey, devil, how far can you go? Come on, tell me. How far can you go today? Ooh, how far did he tell you you could go today? Did he tell you I could get sick but not die? Did he tell you that you could burn my house down, but you can't touch my family? What did he tell you? You don't never forget this. The devil has got a boundary. He's got a boundary. That line has been drawn. Ooh. You say, you better watch out talking like that, old devil. Hey, I know the devil's after me. He torments me every day. I'm not boasting against the devil. I'm preaching against human effort. He'd kill me. If Jesus left me alone, if Christ left me alone, if one little old demon come in here, you'd be looking at the biggest scaredy cat you ever seen. Because I seen one when I was a young man, and I didn't have the Holy Ghost, and I pulled a cover up over my head. Oh, I got scared. I looked and seen that little fella about, how is this right here? Ugly little old critter. Looked like about half man and half monkey there in my bedroom. I mean, I literally seen him smiling at me. I didn't rebuke nothing. I pulled that cover up over my head. Hey. Amen. But now I have been sanctified. And now I have been Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. I've been saturated with the power and the glory of the God Almighty. And I don't speak my own language. I don't speak under my own authority. But I speak under the authority of Almighty God. Do you know that I'm feeling good? Somebody said you look like you're mad when you're preaching. That's because I am. Hallelujah. Oh, not at you. Not at you. But the deception of Satan. I got to start closing because he's deceiving people and believing they can't live right. Can't go to heaven. Can't live victorious lives. Can't be an overcomer. Everybody hear the sound of my voice. Not only can you serve the Lord yourself, you can take somebody to heaven with you. You can win the lost. Freely you have received, you're going to give. You can do it. Devil's told some of you, you can't make it. You can't make it. You can't make it. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. From every evil work. And will preserve. Oh, preserve. Amen. My aunt up there at Dover, she liked to can. She canned anything you could can. She canned meat, she canned tomatoes, she canned peanuts, she canned corn, anything. She died in 1990. My uncle kind of turned that church over to us in 1990. Anyway, I went out there, started clearing out. She had literally hundreds of jars. Now, some of it went bad, but there was jars there of peanuts. 1985. Amen. This was 2000, right at 2000. Somebody, I know what you're thinking. You didn't eat one of them peanuts. I did. I was going to see what it's like to eat a peanut that was 15 years old. Hey. Look, I ain't never eat a peanut 15 years old. I only ate one, Sister Kate. I just want to eat one for the record. Glory to God. I popped that old rusted top off of that. And you know, it was tied. It was sealed. I flipped one of them peanuts and ate one. It didn't taste all that bad. If it hadn't been for my wife getting on to me, I took a couple jars home. Praise God. She don't like them 15-year-old peanuts. She don't like it when it gets out of date. But I said all that, you know, we can preserve some things, but nobody can preserve like God. Amen. Amen. Now to Him. Amen. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Are you preserved tonight? Jude 1:24. Somebody said, I sure hope I can make it. I hope I don't fall. I sure hope I don't fall. Listen to what Jude said. Now unto Him that is able. I'm preaching on the futility of human effort. I would fall. I probably will fall if it was not for Christ. But Jude said, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Keep you from falling. Keep you from falling. When I go to fall, I got somebody that runs up beside me. Keeps me from falling. There's been times I slipped, Brother Cannon. I slipped. I felt so bad that I'd slipped. I felt so bad that my faith had begun to waver. I felt so bad that I hadn't done as good as I should have done. I could feel myself slipping. I wasn't just wanting to go out in the world, but I could feel myself slipping. And when He ran up beside me and kept me from falling, amen. When He kept me from falling, man, it made me feel good. And I just cry and say, Lord, I thank You for keeping me from falling. One time in Lake Placid, some of you have been there, been to the Golden Corral. Me and a friend of mine, then he was in church, Brother Lewis, come up. We had to park out toward where the boat place is. It started raining. 8 or 10 elderly people up there under the eave of the Golden Corral where the doors is there, just waiting for it to let up. I told Brother Lewis, let's don't wait. Let's go for it. It was raining. Water everywhere. Cars parked, you know, pulled in there like that. I took off. I was going to be, you know, I wasn't going to get that wet. I took off running fast as I could. This is no exaggeration at all. I don't know why I got about 20 foot from that sidewalk, and I lost all traction of my feet. I said, the first thought it hit me, not only are you going down, you're going down in front of all these people. You're gonna go down. People inside the Golden Corral looking out the windows, lined up there. You said, you're going down. I started sliding. I mean, I've never felt so out of control. I'm serious. I've never felt so out of control in all of my life. I couldn't do nothing but like that. I felt like a skier. So I went over here, and I hit this car. And somehow the Lord helped me to keep my balance. It put the momentum going the other way. So I went over there, and I hit the other car. It spun me around, and somehow I stayed on my feet. It's true. I don't know how many times I spun. Even Brother Lewis was amazed. He said, I've never seen it on this fashion. I ended up standing there in front of them people, just like this. I didn't know what to say. I said, "They was there." I said, "How y'all doing today?" Hey, that's the truth. I don't want to do that again. Now when I go to that restaurant a lot. If it's raining, I don't run. I will not run. But I said that's a true life thing. There's been times, Sister Smith, in my walk with God. My God, I took off running, thought I was going to be big shot. Oh, next thing I know, I was out of control. Man, I was going everywhere. I said, "I'm going to fall. They're going to laugh at me. I'm going to become a castaway. I'm going to become a castaway. They're going to mock me. They're going to make fun of me." I bounced off of this. And I didn't know what I was bouncing off. But when it was all said and done, I was standing there smiling. Who was that done that? Sure wasn't me. It was that one that keeps you from falling. I don't know if he didn't help me that day. Amen. You may think you're going down, but he'll put an angel over here for you to bounce off of. He'll put an angel over here for you to bounce off of. He'll put one over here. By the time you think you're going down, the sun will come out. You'll be smiling. Jesus will be there. And everything will be all right. Weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. One little area here, and I promise you, I'm closing. I prayed about what verses to use tonight. Some of you here tonight, we can go there to Romans 7. You've tried so hard to change your life. You've tried so hard to do things differently. There's things in your life that you don't want there. Paul said, "The things I don't want to do, I do." That's where you're at. "I don't want to do them, preacher, but I do them. The things I want to do, I say I'm going to do better. I don't never do." Your heart's right. It's pure. You want to do it, but you can't change yourself. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, the futility of human effort." If you was to say, "How good at you are you at living holy?" I'd look at you and say, "Wretched. I'm the worst among you. Wretched man that I am." You wouldn't think it, then you might. By nature, I get upset easy. I get mad fast. Don't get upset now. It's been a long time. Last person I hit was my brother. Me and him have been friends for many years. Amen. Last person I shot with a BB gun was my brother. We've been friends for many years. Last person I pulled out of the bed and rammed upside the head was my brother. But we hadn't done that since we were young. But I got sanctified. And what I'm saying, I'm a wretched man. Outside of Christ, I know where I'll end up. I'll end up in jail. Somebody come by and make me mad. Brother Smith come by and make me mad. And I know he can whip me, but I'd pop him one time anyway before he whipped me. Glory to God. Amen. But I've been set free. Oh, wretched man that I am. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the old Rufus Caraway is the most wretched man, even though I was raised in church, is the most wretched man. But I quit trying to do things myself. And I called on the Lord. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Could be some of you here tonight are trapped in death. You're good as you can be. Your heart's right. But you're trapped in death. Sister Amanda, come on to the piano, please. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I know all of us here tonight needs to learn how more to rely upon Christ. But I feel like giving the altar call in this way tonight. There are situations and areas in your life you love God, but there's weaknesses in your life. There's flesh there. You have not died out. You're to be commended for being in this good service tonight. You're to be commended for attending this church. Listening. You've been a very good congregation. Everybody here tonight to listen to the Word of God. But while you're here tonight with the family of God, Brother Rob had it tonight. What about that one thing that hasn't been killed yet? The one thing that hasn't been eradicated yet? The one thing that hasn't you haven't been set free of yet? Would you be willing tonight to realize I can't do it myself? But that preacher's preached tonight that there's one Christ that'll do it for me. Would you be willing tonight to say, I'm willing to let Christ change me for the good? Maybe you've just been a murmurer and a complainer. That's your nature. But you're willing to let the Lord take that complaining spirit out of you. Maybe it's a weakness of the flesh. But tonight I feel like somebody here tonight, Christ is in this place. And He will help. Stand with me tonight, everyone, please. I'm not giving a general altar call yet. And I know there's not a lot of room here. But I feel like there's room for those that needs to be here. There's somebody here tonight. You need to make up your mind tonight you're going to be delivered from the body of this death. Christ is going to set you free. Whatever it is that's holding you back. Brother Bowers was just not up here tonight taking time. God works that way in many services. He was the forerunner in speaking and pronouncing, as John the Baptist pronounced the coming of Christ. Many times in a service, there's a forerunner that pronounces the work that must be done in that service. And the work that must be done in this service is that somebody still hasn't got over something. You still having problems with something. And we love you, and I love you, and I don't even know a lot of you, but I love you. Would you come down here tonight and say, Lord, I'm tired of trying on myself to live holy. I'm tired of trying to live holy. But Lord, would you make me that person that would just live holy? Lord, I'm tired of fighting against this temper that I got. Lord, would you sanctify me of this temper? Are you here tonight? Don't be ashamed. Are you here tonight? Would you come forward? Would you come and kneel at this altar? We'll embarrass nobody. I'll just lay my hand on you and say, Lord, give them the desire of their heart. Somebody's here tonight. Would you come quickly? I'm not going to tarry. Oh, I feel the Lord. And I may tarry. Somebody here tonight's got a habit in your life that you want to be set free from. You've got a habit in your life that you want to be set free from. And I don't know you very well. You've got a habit in your life that you need to be set free from. Would you come? Would you come? Please, would you come? You ain't got to come tell me nothing. Coming, but is everybody obeyed the Lord? I'm on the way. Oh, Lord. Christ is calling.
said, I'll do it for you. There's at least one, and I don't know who you are, but there's at least one sister. Several brothers have come. There's at least one lady in this church tonight that God has definitely, even while I've been speaking, told you, if you'll go down there, I'll help you. But you won't come. Maybe you're afraid of what somebody's going to say. Maybe you already claim to have all that you need. We're not judging here tonight. We're not talking about that. Who is the lady? Who is the young lady here tonight that the Lord has spoke to your heart that He would help you tonight if you would come? Who is it? You say you've just narrowed it down? Yeah, but we love. There ain't going to be nobody talking about nobody. The only thing we're going to talk about tonight when this service is over is what the Lord has done here tonight. What the Lord has done here tonight. I'm going to tarry just a few more seconds. I feel led to. And then we're going to gather around these and pray. I feel like I've obeyed the Lord the best I could tonight. Even in this altar call. And I feel an urgency right now. I feel that urgency right now. Time, the clock is ticking. Time's running out. For this service. For this service. For this service. For this service. I understand why a person would hesitate. I understand well. Because even Jesus said, no man that buildeth a house don't sit down first and count the cost. But would you count the cost tonight? And would you obey the Lord? Okay, as Sister Amanda maybe feels like singing a song, let's pray for these at these altars that Christ would do a work in their lives tonight. Let us pray.